Welcome to Alley All Ears, a podcast from the Alley Theater, Houston's theater. Alley All Ears features interviews with directors and designers, playwright Q&As, sneak peeks, and behind-the-scenes information. Throughout the month of February, in honor of Black History Month, we will shine a light on Black artists, including Houston's own Arnett Cobb, resident acting company members Sean Hamilton and David Rainey, as well as interviews with playwrights Chisa Hutchison and Shawana Renee Ravon. Now sit back, relax, and celebrate with us. From our home to yours, Alley All Ears.
Chisa Hutchison, how you doing?
Hello, Sean Hamilton.
It's so good to see you. It's, you know, with this whole COVID thing, when I see people I haven't seen for a long time, I'm so happy that they're alive and they're
alive. I know. I'm always a little bit like, oh, right. People that I like are still out there. They still exist. Because all I hear about now is like people who are just up to no good. And
right. It's been over a year, I think. Right. I think it's been over a year since the play, since American. I'm Sean Hamilton. I'm a member of the acting company at the Alley Theater. I'm supposed to say that. And I'm really, really excited to be interviewing Chisa Hutchison today because I was supposed to do Chisa's play last year. That thing got moved two or three times. We had hope at the beginning. Remember at the beginning we had hope.
And then
we thought, if we just wait a little while. Hope will make it. So we kept moving it and moving it. I was supposed to do American. I think first it was April, and then May, and then June, and then the fall, and it just ended up going away because, of course, Mr. COVID kind of hit us very, very hard, very, very hard. So it's so wonderful to see you. I miss you. Thank you. I wish we were working on a play instead of just kind of hanging out in our basements and talking some stuff, you know?
Yeah, I do know.
So we started doing a lot of video work, a lot of plays on video, the Alley Digital Projects. If you have a chance to check it out, please do. I'm saying that to the audience. I did a project on there about Arnett Cobb, a little short feature about a play that I hope to write in the future based off of Fox Fellowship. And we've got a bunch of other plays on there as well. So if you want to, please check that out. So that's what I've been up to, is doing stuff on, video and stuff like that, which is just not the same. It's not theater, is it? It's not. You want people in the room with you. You want people looking at you. Or you want that fear and that anxiety. Man, I remember when we first read your play. That was crazy. Do you remember that?
I really enjoyed myself when I was there. I mean, Houston is, it's a cool place because it's diverse in the ways that matter. I mean, as far as not just like view book or brochure diversity, the way people think, I think that there are just a lot of different schools of thought there, but everyone is still very welcoming and open, and they'll call you on stuff, right. And they will let you know that they disagree with you, as I recall.
From some
audience folks who saw the reading, but they will tell you in the most respectful and polite way that they disagree, and then it's up for debate,
right.
Which, remember that? Remember when people would debate? But yeah, I mean, Houston is the kind of place, I mean, I guess maybe that's throwback, I don't know. But I felt very much, I felt meaningfully engaged while I was there. And I was really looking forward to coming back to do the production. I'm still looking forward to coming back and doing it. I'm going to say that.
There's nothing that we want more than to have that play on the Alley stage, which is why we're going to wait as long as it takes to get that play out there. I just remember the audience during the first act. I did the reading and I didn't step up. I'm trying not to reveal all, but I didn't step up for a while. And I remember people looking at, especially some folks who were like, wait a minute. Is she black? Is this a black playwright? Because this it says she's Black, but he seems very open to many different sort of points of view. Let me just make sure. Okay. And then the second act was like, okay, I get it. It's like, whoa. You really kept that, you very dry. You kept the audience perfectly waiting, and you did not give them any sentimentality out of it. And you really made them wait. And I was looking at them, I was like, ooh, look at that. Because they're like,
yeah, you know, I mean, people do come in with a certain idea of like what the Black playwright's play is going to be. And of course, race does, you know, feature pretty prominently as an issue in the play. But it's mostly about this white guy who's just trying his best to find community and be a good dad, you know, whatever that means. in his context, right? So,
right. I think people were shocked that you would have a sympathetic perspective on a human being like
that. Here's the thing, though. That's what we do. I feel like Black people, like it's a survival thing. Like it's a survival mechanism for us. Like it's you know, I just remember growing up, like I grew up in a predominantly Black neighborhood, and then moved to a predominantly white neighborhood and got a scholarship to a predominantly white school. And I just remember being like, oh, I knew about this, right? And I was already sort of in tune with the people around me, and I knew, you know, and I was very sort of keenly aware of our differences, right?
Right.
But the same courtesy was not extended to me. And I just remember being in like the art gallery. I swear this is relevant. The art gallery, because it was we have an art gallery, right? So being in the art gallery, I think like our history class or something was coming to visit the art gallery to see the exhibition of a photographer who took pictures of people living in poverty around the country. And there was this one picture in particular of a woman, a Black woman who liked whatever, like she could have been my mom, you know, like she was just sitting next to a big old hole in her wall. She lived in the projects and she had a big hole in her wall. And I remember looking at that and being like, yep, you know, and then the girl behind me was like, ew, why doesn't she just get that fixed? And I was like, oh.
You were like, yeah, I've been there. I've seen that. I know.
Like, you don't, but like, they don't know that we exist in the way that we exist, in the myriad ways that we exist.
In the myriad ways, right, but right.
We have had to be very keenly aware of every little nuance, every little, you know, every little thing about mainstream folks. And by mainstream folks, I mean white folks.
I get it.
And it's gonna be, I mean, I don't know, they shouldn't be surprised, you know, that I can, that Black playwrights can write white people.
Right. What is your life like? I mean, I know you're doing this stuff in Delaware, in terms of like your freelance stuff. And what I want to ask about is, you know, title undetermined or whatever, all your TV stuff that you're doing right now. What does that even mean? What does it mean? Do you send them stuff once a week? Do they say, oh, we're moving the production another few months? Or what do you think about this actress? Or is it just like, hey, that's some good writing. What do you think about maybe changing it? How do you deal with the West Coast? Is it the West Coast? Maybe it's the East Coast, and I don't know.
It's mostly West Coast. I mean, up until very, very recently, I had only been doing screen film work, so no TV stuff. I would get hired to, you know, I mean, it's mercenary work, right? It's
it's the real life of an actor, which a lot of people don't understand how the hustle works for an actor, the freelance part of that job. Yeah.
Mercenary style. They say, hey, like the last one was, hey, how would you feel about adapting Oliver Twist for Disney? And I was like, I don't know. Oh, Oliver Twist. No.
I saw the title of that. That's funny. Yeah.
But then they dropped it on me that that Ice Cube was producing, because apparently Ice Cube was the one who came to them and said, I want to adapt this for my people, so find me a writer. And they came to me, which was cool. And I got that gig. And I mean, we'll see how it turns out. But this is, so that was the last film assignment that I did. And I've had a few before that, but they were like, I did an adaptation of, I seem to be forever getting these, like, here, just can you sprinkle your black girl magic on the white narrative, please?
Wave your wand.
So, like, Oliver Twist and Terms of Endearment was the one that I did before that. And Lee Daniels is supposed to be directing that, but he's so damn busy right now.
That whole world is so crazy. It's so crazy because I've talked to writers who say, I have sold so many things that have never been made. It is just to wrap my head around the idea that you could make a pretty good living selling scripts that never get made. They get put, people pay you to put a script into a drawer, right?
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. I mean, even the minimum, like my very first professional screenwriting assignment was like a down payment on this house that I'm sitting in right now. You know what I mean? And I don't even think I went to script on that one. I think I just outlined it. And then it was abandoned midway through and they bought out my contract. And I was like, all right, well, I'll take this money and run.
Crazy. But it's just crazy.
Yeah,
it's so why some people say that never put your best children out front. You should always have, if there's something that you really love, you should keep it hidden and wait and only put out the two-headed ones or something. I don't know.
Not the two-headed ones. not the two-headed children.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure the Oliver Twist one, that will get made at some point. And the producers were really great about communicating when there's a development. Developments were slow, don't get me wrong, but you know, eventually they would give me my notes back, or like the last call was like, yeah, they really love the revision. So they're gonna look for a director now, but so they like let you know,
that's good. What's going on?
Are happening, at least this producer does. Right. Previous producers, maybe not so much. Like, I really have, like, oh my goodness, not to talk smack about Lee Daniels, but like, I gotta stay on it.
I don't think they're gonna be watching Daniels,
when you go give me my note, you know? like, hey there, is everything all right with the script? Like, you go, y'all, I'm gonna like make it a movie at some point.
Oh,
like,
hello. My mama's waiting, she wants to know. Yeah.
Some are good about letting you know what's up, and others are just like, thanks for the script, okay, bye, you know.
What other plays are you working on, and are you staying in playwriting, right? You haven't, there's not a novel I don't know about, right? Or a,
oh man, look, I'm a word nerd.
Is there a cookbook? You got a cookbook?
I'm gonna try words every which way I can, you know, like I don't discriminate so much. I mean, poetry is a little hard for me, but every now and then I'll still try to write a poem, you know. But yeah, I mean, playwriting, screenwriting, TV writing, I have written a book. It's not a novel. It's it's called 101 Reasons to Not Breed.
Interesting. Okay.
It kind of is what it sounds like, because look, right. I don't have kids, I don't want kids. I've been very clear on this for a good long while now. But the world, like everyone, seems to think that this is up for debate.
Mm.
And, you know, they want to tell, oh, but you'd be such a good mom and la, 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 and oh, you'd be together. And I just, you know, everyone from, you know, my OBGYN to my Uber driver wants to tell me that I should have kids. And I'm like, I don't need your, no. So yeah, I wrote this book because I got tired of explaining to people like why I don't want kids. And I called all this information from my parent friends. And by information, I mean horror stories, mm-hmm. because they're in the trenches, okay? Sure. they are in the trenches. And so, each chapter just presents, one reason why it's a really awful idea to have a child.
I think that sounds absolutely hilarious. And I hope you find a publisher for that.
It might become a TV series before it gets published, though. I sent the first few chapters to my manager while I was like, oh, here's just a little thing I'm working on. And she goes, this is really funny. You should think about turning this into a TV series. And I was like, oh, all right. I could try that. So I came up with,
they make more money if you make it a TV series, though. Yes. So of course she's going to say that.
Yeah. Which is fine. It's fine. And I don't mind money at all. I put together a little pitch and went and pitched it out to some folks and got some interest. And now I'm developing it as a TV series with Jax Media. It's fun. You might see it on the little screen.
Wow, that's funny. That's really funny. Of the kids in your class, how many are Black? How many think they want to really be playwrights? How many are focused on it? How many just came to get the elective?
Yeah, I get a good mix. Every class, I never know what I'm going to get with every class. Uh-huh. I'll have like one Black kid in my class, usually.
What do you think about when you got the one? They must look at you like, oh, wow, okay. You're right. But you can't be like, I will protect you. You got to be like, oh, good. Oh, hello. Oh, good. I'm glad you're here. Good. And I will be even and equitable as I was to, come on.
But you do find ways, right? Like, I definitely find ways to, make that kid know, I see you, right?
Yes.
And I validate you, all those things that are, so, for example, if there's a student who chooses to write about, who chooses to write a Black character into a play or, into a script, and that character is grappling with a really sort of nuanced thing, right? I will really make a point of pointing that, whatever that moment, whatever that little bit that they chose to present in the, just sort of very quietly, I'm just gonna stick that in there and see if anybody notices. I'm like, I've noticed. Did everyone else notice this? Because this is a thing. This is a thing that happens to us, right? And I do. I let them know. Yes, and I do bring my Blackness into the room with me, right? you all, when you look at me, see a Black woman, and I'm pretty sure I've had a couple of students come into class, be like, "Oh, you are not what I was expecting," and mm-hmm. then not return to the class after the first day.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I don't check my Blackness at the door. I bring that with me because it informs not just my interaction with the Black student, right? But I really feel like it's a place where I can do a little work, where I can get my predominantly white class to be thinking about the ways in which our experiences are different, and then maybe again adjust their behavior accordingly, or be like, oh, is that the attitude that I have, and how has that been manifesting with my interactions with non-white people, right? So if I can do that work incidentally while we talk about character development or whatever, right, then I think that's ace. I try not to push a political agenda necessarily, but I do want to make my students better humans.
I was gonna say, you're there as a human being. Yeah, you're a human being. You're there as a...
It's like, just don't be an asshole. Don't go out and be an asshole to somebody who doesn't look like you.
Right.
And if I can help make that happen, if there's any sort of quiet, kind of sneaky way then I can make that happen. I'll go in and pull the lever and push the button, you know.
Well, I can't think of any better way to end this with the philosophy, don't be an asshole. Thank
don't
you,
be an
Jesus. Thank you, Chisa. It's been so good talking
Thank
to you.
Son. Yeah, man. Likewise. You are just, I miss you. And I can't wait. I can't wait till I get in the room with you, man, because you are just such a. What a light you are.
I'm looking forward to it, and I think it's going to happen. I can't tell you when or where or why, but, you know, I'm like, this play got to get done. This play will get done. So whatever I can say.
It will.
Right.
I-